darkness, all-encompassing darkness. Not the darkness of a moonless night. Not the darkness of an overcast, cloudy sky. Not even the darkness of the deep depths of a rank, rat-infested sewer. Complete and utter all-encompassing darkness. A rarity, something that avoids understanding, something I can hardly explain. Sensation, a tingling, a tiny pinprick on a finger, a twitching of a toe, the faintest of a shadow within a shadow. Hazy, blurry, fog-choked memories. No, not a memory, a dream. A dream? Tingling sensation begins to spread from one toe to the next, from finger to finger. Finally, a twitch, the most insignificant of responses a body is capable of. Yet still, utter and complete darkness surrounds me. Sensory deprivation, an often used and abused method of torture. Now, two of my toes are twitching, then a finger. Slowly but surely, I become the one capable of twitching, regaining control of my? No, this feels different. This body is not my body. For an uncountable eternity, I lay there in the darkness, barely able to control the twitching of these fingers. These fingers that are not mine. These toes which belong to another. A minute, an hour, a week goes by in this all-encompassing darkness. Unexpectedly and painfully, I become aware of new sensations. It starts with a smell, an undescribable smell of rot and decay and shit all mixed together, forming this tangible, almost soup-like consistency to the air, thick, heavy, and warm. A new sensation, the feeling of a coldness on my back, yet a humid, cloying warmth to the air around me, infested as it is with the horrific smells of this place. Sensation begins creeping up my legs and down my arms. Pain, an aching sensation of a body unmoved, bedridden, and cold for an unknown eternity. The pain does not fade, but grows as sensation creeps inward. My chest, the heaving, struggling breaths I now realize I'm making, wheezing, coming out of my mouth. My tongue, well, this tongue, the texture of sand and grit, drier than even the desolate frost winds of Kyrgyz. Still, through all this spreading sensation, all-encompassing, pain-filled darkness infuses me. The pressure against my back is cold and hard. I must be laying atop something, but I still cannot move, merely twitching my limbs like some marionette with the strings being cut. The all-encompassing pain roils throughout me, and I long to scream, but I cannot yet open my dusty mouth. Another eternity passes, and I soon realize I can move my eyes. Well, these strange, puppet-like eyes I now control. With a Herculean effort, I pry one of them open, and still, nothing greets me. Nothing to see, nothing to feel but pain and this cold slab against my back. I would cry if I had tears. I would scream if my mouth responded to me. What is this? Some sort of hell? Some sort of punishment? Some sort of horrifying afterlife? Not even the eldritch gods could have foreseen. That thought sticks with me for a time. Dwelling upon the concept, memories, or perhaps dreams, begin to drift in and out of my consciousness, swirling like fog in a gentle morning breeze. Yet more time passes, and the pain, once acute and sharp, begins to recede, dulling. Shadows, black and white, begin to dance in my vision. The strange lolling tongue and misshapen, broken, and decaying teeth come under my control. I desperately need water, and with my marionette strings finally cut, I roll myself off this table, this raised stone slab, smashing down to the ground below, and a weak whimper escapes my lips. Perhaps I am alive. Perhaps I have merely forgotten who I am. Good morning, afternoon, or evening, and welcome back to One Guy, One Role, the solo role-playing podcast where I, Hero Cydides, play role-playing games for your listening pleasure. Happy to be back after a rather lengthy hiatus from the podcast. Between a vacation and, quite honestly, the busiest time of work I think I've ever had, and along with just needing a little bit of a break from the podcast, we are back and with a new game system. We are taking a turn for the grimdark with the newest season of the One Guy, One Role podcast as we dive into the twisted Swedish death metal become reality game of Merkborg. It goes without saying that if any kind of disturbing and more adult themes are not your cup of tea, I would recommend skipping this season of the One Guy, One Role podcast. As always, there will be no explicitly sexual material, but body horror, torture, graphic violence, and perhaps even some harsher language than usual are likely to be present throughout our playthrough of Merkborg. Just as a brief introduction to Merkborg, if you are unfamiliar, the back of the book itself describes everything you need to know. A doom metal album of a game, a spiked flail to the face, rules light, heavy, everything else. Since Merkborg is not traditionally designed as a solo game, we will be using the fabulous rules for Solitary Defilement, an independent production by 1D10 plus 5, which expands upon the core rules of Merkborg as inspired by the wonderful Sean Tompkins of Ironsworn, where you roll 2D20s, and if you succeed on both, a strong hit, on only one, a weak hit, or an absolute failure if neither succeeds. Also included in its conveniently small package are all the oracles we need for ideas, and just general traveling rules, how to do dungeon crawling in a solo game, and just a variety of ideas and rule modifications in order to assist Merkborg as a solitary experience. Beyond Solitary Defilement, also have the wonderful expanded rules found in the, Feratory supplement, and the Bestiary 40 Fiends, which can really help to flesh out the campaign itself. Beyond that, I don't really want to spoil anything else that's going to be going on, but I really have very little control over how long this campaign will last. I'm going to try and keep it less than 10 episodes, but we may die on this episode. The first roll of this game can easily be your last. Or, if the dice gods favor us, perhaps we might even be able to survive to the end of this mini campaign. However, before getting too far along, we need to figure out exactly who our unfortunate adventurer is. With the 6 core classes in the rulebook, and the other 4 in Feratory, still have no idea how to pronounce this supplement, we are looking at 10 possible classes for our unfortunate wanderer. A 5, we are a heretical priest, which works perfectly with what I've already come up with as the backstory to our delve into Merkborg. The heretical priests, hunted by the two-headed basilisks of the one true faith. This heretic can be found raving in ruins, traipsing endlessly down dusty roads, and desecrating cathedrals by night. We begin with 3d6 times 10 silver. 11 times 10 is 110 silver. We also have d4 omens. 3. And for our abilities, we are insightful. 3d6 plus 2 for presence. Another 11 plus 2 is 13. However, we are frail. 3d6 minus 2 for strength. Once again, rolled an 11. However, minus 2 is 9. And then, for agility, we just roll a basic 3d6. A 12. Now all of these are adjusted into a D&D-like modifier. So our 9 becomes, actually, our strength and agility are both plus 0, and our presence is plus 1. Not great, not terrible. And toughness, almost forgot, another 3d6. Another 9 for another plus 0. In our possession, we have a water skin, 4 days worth of food, and, most importantly, we rolled a 1, the sacred shepherd's crook. Its head, a hook of human bone, inscribed with overlapping anti-prayers. This crook hooks through worlds. Staff does 2d4 damage, except to faithless humans. Beyond that, we also have an unholy origin. A 6. The Secret Bergen Crypt Church. I also get to roll a d8 on the weapons table. A 4, which is a knife. d4 damage. Next, we need to figure out our hit points. Merkborg is kind of known as a meat grinder. This roll is going to be very important for determining if we'll even survive the first session. Toughness plus d8. Our toughness is 0. A 5. Not bad, not amazing. The last few things, I'm gonna roll myself and not tell you what they are, because they'll come out in emergent gameplay. And with that, character creation is completed. Kind of like Ironsworn. The rules of solitary defilement utilize a milestone system to complete adventures. Although the system works slightly differently, our character is attempting to escape this region he is in, attempting to get out of whatever building this is, and then to venture out into the wider world in order to fulfill his destiny. I know I'm being a little cagey about what this overall goal is, but that'll all come out in emergent gameplay. For now, know that we are attempting an annoying adventure, which will have 2 milestones initially, and when we do roll to conclude the adventure, it'll be with a difficulty of 10. I'm still not entirely convinced. I like the way this adventure system works. And in the future, I may just bring over the Ironsworn milestone system, but for now, this will be sufficient. Once again, I do apologize for the length of time that has passed since the last episode of the One Guy, One Roll podcast was published. However, I am happy to be back, and I really do hope you enjoy this first episode of Merkborg, as we descend into the vile doom metal album of a game. And without further ado, let's get into it. The fall from the slab to the cold, unforgiving floor below jolted me, shook something inside of me, making me come more alive. The swirling black and white objects in my vision slowly took on a more solid form. Whatever murky, dim light from within this place bled out all the colors from everything. A stagnant, repugnant, thickly dense odor infused the very stones of this long forgotten place. My senses, while still dull, have slowly come alive. The cold, yet somehow humid stone against my naked body lying upon the floor. The warm, stagnant, and repugnant air hovering in the room. The sounds of silence, of nothingness, besides a very faint drip, drip, drip. And above all else, the feeling that I don't belong here, that this body is not mine. This body is merely a marionette, and I am nothing more than its puppet master. Slowly gathering what little strength I have, I pull myself up to my knees and look around what I can only describe as a morgue. Dingy and dirty from unknown years of disuse, the large stone slab occupies the majority of the center of the room. The outline of dust is only disturbed by where this body had lain. Along the back wall, dozens of alcoves filled with nothing more than dust and dried bones, and a single doorway leading out of the room from which the faint light barely trickles in, illuminating this dusty, forgotten, humid room. Stacked along the wall is a rather unexpected good fortune. A couple days' supply of food and water, a basic knife tucked into the belt of some ill-fitting, stained, black, grungy robe, a small pouch which jingles with silver, 30 feet of coiled rope, and most importantly, the only thing here which actually feels like it belongs to me, a shepherd's crook carved with otherworldly symbols that almost seem to writhe out of the corner of my eye. Better described as a short staff, the tip of this shepherd's crook appears to be a human bone, which shines in even the dim light through the dusty, broken door. Gathering up the belongings and donning the well-worn black robes, I search around the room through the different alcoves, hoping to find something else. We are going to use the move Search for an Object, DR12 plus our omens, which is currently 3. We roll 2d20 and we'll see what happens. So we rolled a 15 and a 5, which with our plus 3 means a weak hit. On a weak hit, we roll a d4. A 3. Going to the Furitory, we are going to roll on the 1d100 trinket table. 81. A tankard with a needle in it. Clutched by one of these corpses, well, skeletons now, that occupy the alcoves in the room, like a prized drinking horn, is a tankard, inside of which is a small needle. Although not seemingly useful, the voluminous black robes I discovered has plenty of deep pockets. So I bring along the strange, long-abandoned tankard with me. Still, I have little concept of what this place is and how I got here. The crumbling, decayed door proves to be no real obstacle, and I shove my way through it. Within this room, which may have once been something resembling a prayer chamber or perhaps a cloister of some kind, has now become nothing more than a stagnant pool of water fed from the cracked, long-neglected ceiling above by the constant drip, drip, drip of water I heard in the other room. From within this room, there is an unquestionable sense of humidity, of warmth radiating from the strange pool of water. Something inside of me warns me about this stagnant pool, and I search around for some way across it. A weak hit. Glancing around the room, there's enough random debris from the collapsed ceiling, maybe some old decrepit furniture dotting the room, that it would be possible to make it across this pool without touching the murky, stinking waters. However, it is not going to be an easy task, but instead has a difficulty of 12 plus our agility, which is 0. Attempting to make our way across the makeshift platforms connected together by rotten furniture and precariously balanced chunks of masonry from the ceiling, I almost make it about halfway across before the desk I was standing upon collapses under my weight, and I go splashing down into the murky, fetid waters that fill this room. Is there something alive within this water? Yes, there is. I come splashing down, and while the water is not deep, knee to waist, it's cold, bone-chillingly cold. I barely pull myself above the surface, sputtering, coughing, hacking my lungs out. Bloody phlegm escapes from my lips. I need to get out of here. I splash my way over to the edge to pull myself out with shaking, shattered strength. One hand up, two hands up, and a third hand grabs me by the ankle, yanking me back under the water. The freezing shock of the cold water once again enveloping my body. Splashing back up to the surface, I see what had grabbed me. A bloated, desiccated, decaying, perhaps once human corpse, dressed in the rotting, tattered remains of the same black robe I now wear. Its eyes empty, desolate, and for some reason in my own head, I know this is a soulless. This creature comes shambling towards me through the water, surprising me with its agility and speed of moving through the water. It lunges at me again, its arms outstretched, and grabs a hold, hugging me in a death grip. Seeing the futility of struggling against its iron grip, I swing my shepherd's crook violently towards its head and connect with a satisfying thump. The bony, rune-carved tip flares to life as it connects with the creature's skull, and its grip suddenly weakens as a chunk of its skull goes skittering off across the water before sinking deep. The weakened grip of the creature slides off me, and it sinks back beneath the water. And as I turn to once again pull myself out, I hear a splash from behind me, and the creature emerges with one of its eyes ripped free. Whatever rotted remains inside of its skull, a black twisted mass of rot and decay oozing out from the wound. Seeing that the creature will not stay down, I ready a plan. Seemingly faster in the water than I pull myself free and attempt to topple over some of the precariously balanced masonry onto the creature. And using my strength, I successfully do so. However, with the satisfyingly sickening crunch of the creature's skull being sandwiched beneath the crumbling remains of this makeshift walkway, its grotesque, water-saturated skull bursting like a blueberry beneath the boot, utterly demolishing the creature. Unfortunately, the makeshift bridge across this room is now fully demolished, and I will be unable to return back to the morgue from which I originally awoke without risking yet another swim across this flooded room and risking an encounter with any other creatures trapped beneath the murky waters. Utterly soaked and saturated with this freezing water, I turn my back on the flooded room and prepare myself to face whatever horrors exist beyond the next doorway. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of One Guy, One Role, as we take our first dive into the, well, I'm not sure if it's an indie RPG or not, given its relative popularity, but Merkborg is fantastic. And with the Solitary Defilement supplement, it makes running a solo game incredibly easy, provides all kinds of oracles and lists, and slight modifications to the rules to make the whole thing very fluid. I'm expecting this dive into Merkborg to take less than 10 episodes, but as I said in the intro, it's almost impossible to know for sure. Anyways, as always when starting a new series, it's inevitable I'm going to make mistakes or not fully explain the rules all the way. So if you do have any questions or comments about the new season, please feel free to comment on the Reddit or Discord post, or you can even message me on Patreon if you happen to be a member of the One Guy, One Role Patreon group. Honestly though, Reddit's probably the best, or Discord if that's your preferred method of interacting with the podcast. Anyways, in case I didn't make it super clear during the episode, most everything in this system is done using a d20 plus something. Strength, agility, presence, or your omens, which we haven't really touched on yet, but we will when we get there. What solitary defilement does is it takes the idea from Ironsworn of rolling two dice, and if you succeed on both, strong hit, one weak hit, none of them a failure. And a weak hit using solitary defilement really kind of leaves a lot of it up to the player. For example, during the encounter with the undead, which is from a list of creatures in the Feratory book, I had a weak hit when I first rolled presence in order to see if there was a way across the flooded room. That weak hit meant yes, but I'm going to have to roll a dexterity check in order to cross this kind of broken, crumbly remains of a makeshift bridge. When I rolled that roll, I got a failure, zero successes, which caused the chunk to collapse, leading to the encounter with the admittedly quite easy undead creature. I didn't want to kill us in the very first episode, but as always on the show, if the dice say we die, and we move on to a new system. Beyond that, there's other various moves which cause you to roll on oracles and other things like that. Something I like about solitary defilement is the dungeon crawling section, of which this area we're exploring is being done so with the micro crawls rule. Basically, roll a d4 to see how many rooms there are, then use the dungeon descriptor oracles to flesh them out in a way that makes sense. All in all, great system with a great solo rules supplement over the top of it has been a blast to play for this one episode, and I can't wait to come back next time and further explore Merkborg. Anyways, before signing off, I do have a Patreon over on patreon.com/oneguyoneroll. Given the amount of time that has passed since the last episode, doesn't feel right to pitch the Patreon, but it is there if you're interested in supporting the show. And of course, this whole entire podcast is only possible because of the general support of my generous patrons, including Master JL, Journeyman James, Journeyman Nick, Journeyman Wes, and Apprentice Jesse. Thank you so much, you guys. Your support really means a lot to me, and I really do intend to keep producing additional content for y'all to listen to. Once again, thank you so much. It means so much to me that you guys continue to support what I do here. Anyways, I have been your host, player, and GM Hero Cities here on the One Guy, One Role podcast, signing off. Have a great day and stay safe out there, y'all.